Amen. On the back of your bulletin, there's a place to write down scripture references you may want to take with you today as we conclude one more message here in the book of Daniel. So if you have your Bible, if you would turn to Daniel chapter 10, Daniel chapter 10, and we'll make our confession here in just a moment. And put a few New Testament verses on the screen, Lord willing, for you. So again, if you want to write those down, they will be available. All right, Daniel chapter 10. And would you join me as we make this confession together? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, Daniel was taken along with others from his country when he was a teenager and taken about 500 miles away into exile. And he was made to serve under a new king, a Babylonian king. But God used him in that administration, and he served for several kings, actually. He lived up into his 80s, it is believed. And so here he is. It says that a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. That was the Babylonian name they gave him. But Daniel was the name his parents gave him. And it says the message was true, but the appointed time was long. And he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. God gave Daniel dreams and visions that revealed the destinies of several earthly kingdoms, several empires. That's why so many, but some believe there's no way Daniel could have been written when we believe it was written, because they don't believe in a God who can tell the future. And they think it was written after the fact, like history, but God gave it to Daniel. He revealed to him not only the destinies of several world empires, he revealed the spirits working behind those kingdoms and those nations. And so the theme of Daniel, I'll say it one more time, is God's sovereignty. That's emphasized throughout. Even though Daniel was taken captive, for example, God didn't give up on him. He wasn't out of God's hands. And he might not have been in his homeland, but God was with him where he was. And God's sovereignty, I'll just define it like this, kind of simple, is the ultimate authority and will of God. The ultimate authority of God, there is no higher power, but ultimately his way, his will prevail. When it's all said and done, all who oppose God will be gone, and there'll be no more curse, and there will only be God and those who are with him. So his will ultimately prevails, even though we don't see that in our daily lives in this world right now. That's why Jesus told us to pray for God's kingdom, his reign to grow, and to be here, and his will to be done right here on earth. Now, God is working in both people and nations to fulfill his ultimate purpose, his overall purpose. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against it. Regardless of what is going on in the news and what's happening, I will assure you today, Jesus is building his church around the world. And one day, according to the scripture, some people, someone from every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every language on earth will be around God's throne giving him praise. And that's why we still want to share the good news, to be able to reach more people for him. God gave us his word because he loves us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know his will so that we can live by his wisdom and power. And the message I want to share today, I believe, is very relevant for the fact that we need God's wisdom and we need God's power, because the message today is going to focus on our struggles and battles that we face in this life. And that's one of the reasons when I know what I'm going to share on, I believe God gives me peace about, I'll even try to work some songs into it, at least one or maybe a few, because I just want to get it in your spirit and get it in my spirit and have that it builds faith in us. So there are three truths I'd like to share with you today about our battles. I'm going to summarize them in six words, two, two, and two. So by the time we get to the third one, you'll have the whole message, all right? So if you turn here, still in Daniel, just drop down to verse 13. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13 says this. There's a heavenly messenger that God sent to Daniel about giving him understanding in this vision that he had. It says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes in the New Testament, he's called an archangel. There are only a couple of them mentioned by name in the Bible. Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. Then if you drop down to verse 20. Verse 20, again, he's still speaking to Daniel, and he says, do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I've gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I'll tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince. So here's the first truth, if I'll share it this way. We wrestle. All right? So again, I'll break it down into just two words, but to complete the thought, we wrestle with spiritual forces. We wrestle with spiritual forces. When these verses talk about the princes of Persia and Greece, they weren't talking about the earthly kings. This messenger was saying there's a spirit behind the kingdom of Persia, and after he is gone, there will be a spirit behind the kingdom of Greece. And if we could see in the spirit realm, the battle that was taking place, one of the Lord's archangels, Michael, he seems to be the warring angel. There is another one that we know of named Gabriel. He's like the messenger angel. He'll announce the birth of John the Baptist, the birth of Jesus. But Michael, we read about him even in the book of Jude where he is called the archangel. Do you know that when Moses died, God hid his body and the devil tried to get to it, but Michael kept him away? So that's what I'm talking about with the battle going behind the scenes, that we wrestle with spiritual forces. That's why we need, oh my goodness, don't we need discernment from God's word, and we need discernment from God's Holy Spirit. And this is so important because we need discernment in order to determine the nature of the battles that we're facing. One of the Bibles I have is a Spirit-Filled Life Bible. Jack Hayford was the editor over this one, overall editor. Different ones contributed. But there was a note here on Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, I'd like to share with you. It says this, it says that without discernment, we become, quote, too easily detoured, wrestling with human adversaries instead of prayerfully warring against the invisible works of hell behind the scenes. I want to say that one again. Without discernment, we become too easily detoured, wrestling with human adversaries instead of prayerfully warring against the invisible works of hell behind the scenes. Don't you know the devil wants us to do that? He wants to just work under a cover of darkness, if I could say it that way. Y'all know what I'm saying, that spiritual? He wants us fighting each other so we're not fighting him. So that we're just fighting what we see. And then if you just stay there in the book of Daniel, let me read you this if you want to write it down. It's one verse in Ephesians here. I want to give you some more, but Ephesians chapter 6 applies to this truth that we see in Daniel 10. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Would you say that with me? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle. We wrestle, but we wrestle against principalities. Now this, I like how this translation actually words that. You've all heard of a municipality, right? I think of a principality as a prince over an area. So a municipality, a principality, a demon spirit over this area, that's who we struggle, we contend with. Principalities against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, in other words, in the spirit realm. Now, I don't blame every battle, every obstacle, every problem, every conflict on the devil. Well, you know, my shoe came untied. What, the devil? No, I don't do that, all right? However, we need to at least be aware that there is a very real spirit world. And we need to be aware that he does want to steal, kill, and destroy. And he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we don't wrestle, we don't have to wrestle people, but we do wrestle. We wrestle with spiritual forces. And the book of Revelation chapter 12 teaches us this, that when the devil realizes that the coming, the return of Jesus is near and his time is getting short, the Bible says his rage grows and he attacks, he tries to deceive, he comes with accusations, with condemnation, he comes with persecution, he wants to do everything he can to deceive us, to divide us, and discourage us. But the Lord is for us. And thank God that he's for us. And he has not left us alone, and he has not left us defenseless. So we do wrestle. We wrestle with spiritual forces. Let me give you the second one. Daniel chapter 10, would you go back to verse 2? Daniel chapter 10, verse 2. Daniel, he says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Remember how long there was the battle between that messenger and the prince of Persia? He says, and that it was 3 full weeks. What did Daniel do? Verse 3, I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. This is what some call a Daniel fast, where he was eating, but he didn't eat meats and sweets, maybe some of the little treats of life, and he just basically focused on what he needed with vegetables and water, and he just really sought the Lord. That's what he was doing. He was praying. He wasn't just on, you know, dieting for Jesus. He was praying during this time. And I believe, in fact, just if you drop down to verse 11, Daniel 10 says, then again, this messenger, after Daniel had prayed and sought the Lord, fasted that partial fast for 3 weeks, Daniel, this messenger said, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And while he was speaking his word to me, I stood trembling. Just to give you a little quick background, the reason he wasn't standing is because when this messenger appeared, he was on his face. It overwhelmed him, and whoever was with him got out of Dodge. They took off. So he was left there alone. But thankfully, this messenger wasn't against him. He came with a divine message from God. He says, you're greatly loved. Then he says this in verse 12. After Daniel stands up, he's trembling. And he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day you set your heart to understand. He wanted to understand the word of God. He wanted to understand the vision God gave him and to humble yourself before your God. I think that's a great truth, that understanding comes with humility. Understanding of God's heart and his will and his word comes not with pride or arrogance, but with humility as we seek God. And notice what he says. He says, from the day that to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. Your words were heard day one, and I have come because of your words. Let that, please get that. I have come. This divine messenger sent from God said, your words were heard 3 weeks ago, and I'm standing here today, not just because of God's word, I'm standing here because of your words. I'll get honest. I'm going to be real with you. I never get tired of the Lord. But honestly, there are times I get tired in the battle. I get tired of the battle, especially when I feel like I'm in this battle and unnecessarily. Why have I even got to go through this? And sometimes you just get tired. But I believe I know the Lord gave us his word for a reason. I just believe the Lord wants to encourage us to say, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like nothing's happening, but if I just keep praying and seeking God, maybe on day 21, maybe on day 49, I don't know. I just believe the Lord wants us to persevere in prayer and not give up. Our faith-filled prayers make a difference, and they make a difference not only in time, but in eternity. I didn't give you the second point, did I? All right. So first one is we wrestle, and then the second was we stand. So we wrestle with spiritual forces, but thank God by his grace, we stand with spiritual armor. We wrestle and we stand. This truth of reading this in Daniel this week, my prayer is that it encourages you too, because it did encourage me. Daniel chapter 10, you see the verses there. Let me read just a couple more real quick and then read those in Ephesians. Daniel chapter 10, verse 17 says this: "For how can this servant of my Lord," Daniel speaking to this messenger, he said, "how can I talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me." Have you ever felt like you had no strength left? Spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, you just felt like you were drained. Verse 18, "Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man," and here a second time he says, "greatly beloved, fear not. Peace to you. Be strong." Yes, be strong. "So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me." When Daniel had no strength left humanly, the Lord sent a touch and it strengthened him, and the Lord gave him a word and the words strengthened him. Our words, we can discourage, dishearten one another, or we can encourage and strengthen and build up one another with our words. God's word has the ability, the psalmist said, strengthen me according to your word. We can open God's word, we can hear it, we can receive it and receive spiritual strength, maybe even physical strength, I believe, from it, emotional strength, and then we can share God's word with others in a way that strengthens them. So we wrestle with spiritual forces, but we stand with spiritual armor. And today, I just like to say that to you, every one of you here today, every one of you watching, you are greatly loved. Amen. That's a truth. You are greatly loved. If you hold your spot there one more moment, let me read you this in Ephesians. I won't read every verse, but Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, related to standing with spiritual armor. Ephesians 6:10. Remember what we just read there in Daniel? That saw a messenger said, be strong, be strong. Verse 10, Ephesians 6. "Finally, my brethren, be strong." "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor." How much? "Put on the whole armor of God." Why? "That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And then in those verses there, he says that you can stand, withstand, stand, and stand. That's how many times he says it. And withstand actually means to bravely oppose or to vigorously oppose. We're not cowering in fear because we have to face a battle. We need to be strong in the Lord. Now, the Lord provided all the armor, but it's up to us to put it on. And just real quick, I'll try to do it from memory. You can read the verses there down to verse 20. 7 pieces of spiritual armor to help us stand. Here they are: truth, righteousness, the gospel or good news of peace, I'm missing one. Let me look at it. Truth. Faith. Yes. Faith, that was number 5. The word of God is 6, and prayer is 7. To put on the whole armor of God. I just want to call your attention to the last 2. If we put those verses up on a screen, please, Ephesians 6:17, where it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That there are 2 different words translated into our English word. One is logos, which is like in the beginning was the word and the word was with God. The word was God. Logos. It's words. It's a general message. But there's another word that is more of a specific word. It's a specific, relevant, and spoken word. That Greek word is rhema. And this verse says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. The sword of the Spirit is not just my Bible. The sword of the Spirit is the truth of Scripture in my heart that I speak in faith out of my mouth about to a relevant and specific situation, like Jesus gave us the example. When the devil tempted him with food, Jesus didn't quote a verse about money. So we stand with spiritual armor. And I like how, because to be able to speak that, Jesus had it in him. So we get that word in us, we think about it and meditate on it and confess it until it becomes personal to us. Then that way we can use it like a spiritual sword. I like how the Passion Translation words it. It says, take the mighty, razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word. Take the mighty, razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word. So, and then the next verse there in Ephesians, because this really, I believe, helps us keep it in perspective. And then we'll look at the last one. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. See, part of the battle, I believe, is that the devil wants us to become so consumed and so narrow-focused that all we're focused on is our problem and our battle and what's going on with us that we can't see beyond and we don't see the bigger picture that God has called us to something greater. And so we focus on just ourselves, which is okay, but not to stop there, but to pray for all the saints and not just for Christians. Then he says this is how we stand. Verse 19, and pray for me that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, the good news, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul was chained, but God's word wasn't. And that's part of our prayer, is if we believe that what people need is the life-changing power of the good news of Jesus Christ, we'll love them enough to pray for them. So we love to pray for them that God would open hearts, that God would open mouths, and that we would share the good news and people would believe it and receive it so they can be a part of God's kingdom too. That's what he wants. We stand not just for ourselves, but so that God's kingdom grows and his will is accomplished right here on earth, even as it is in heaven. So we wrestle with spiritual forces. We stand with spiritual armor. And then for this final one, would you turn back just a little bit to Daniel 7? Daniel chapter 7. We wrestle, we stand. Here, read a couple of verses and I'll give you the last 2 words. Daniel 7, verse 18 says, but the saints of the Most High, if you are a believer in Jesus and a follower of Jesus, you're a saint. All right. I didn't say we always act saintly, but we are too. We are, that's what God calls us. He calls us saints if we're in Christ. If we're believers, he said, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Notice those 2 words, please. We receive and possess. He doesn't just mention one. Receive and possess. Then verse 21. Says, I was watching Daniel in this vision, and the same horn, there was a king who was a wicked king who comes to power here that Daniel saw, and he was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. Wait a minute. I thought we're more than conquerors and we're overcomers. Let's just be real. It may look like, as followers of Jesus, we're on the losing side at times. It may look like we are defeated at times, and we do have our setbacks, but let me keep reading. So he's making war, prevailing against them, verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom that they had already received. So we wrestle, we stand, we win. We wrestle with spiritual forces, we stand with spiritual armor, and we win with spiritual favor. The Ancient of Days came, and judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. We have our battles, we have our failures, we have our setbacks, but I will assure you, I'm going to assure myself, I'll assure us today, because this is something I wanted to really stress too, that it's not just I wrestle, I do, and I stand, I have to stand, I can't expect you to stand for me, but we're in this together. Thank God we're not alone. He says resist, the Bible says that scripture that talks about Satan going around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, the next sentence says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, the same battles are being accomplished by your brothers and sisters in the world. Thank God we're not alone in this. And so he says, the time came, God made a judgment in our favor. Jesus said, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom's coming to us. It ultimately belongs to the Lord. But I will assure us today, if we're with the Lord, our final victory is assured. And in the mind of God and in His sight, it's already an accomplished fact. We just haven't gotten there yet. So we need to battle from that kind of a perspective that I am on the winning side. I am with the Lord. And He made a legal decision in our favor when His Son suffered and died on the cross to pay for our sins and take our judgment. Thank God we win with spiritual favor. Would you look at verse 26? But the court shall be seated. It's a courtroom scene now. And they shall take away his dominion, that wicked king who was persecuting the believers, to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given, here it is again, to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve. And here is the scene. The universe is the court, and the court is seated. Now come to order, the honorable Ancient of Days presiding. And this one who looks like he's prevailing against the saints, he is banished, and the kingdom goes to the people of God because he made a judgment in our favor based on the cross, and it's based on Christ's victory that we walk out our victory in our daily battles and wrestlings and our struggles. Let me give you his last scripture, Ephesians 1, if you want to write it down. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. I want to read it from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. We can put it on the screen, and then we'll prepare for communion, okay? It says, praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. He has blessed us. You know what if Joshua 1:3 says? God says, I have given you the land, every place your footsteps, it's yours. When they came up to Jericho, God said, I've given you the city. They hadn't even stepped foot in there yet. But see, it's based on the favor of God and his truth that we can then win the battle and still be standing. It's by God's grace. So he goes on, he says, he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, for he chose us in him, Christ, before the foundation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. Think about that one, please. That's the power of the blood of Jesus and the sacrifice that he made on the cross, that one day, if we're in Christ, we're going to stand before him holy and blameless. That is a good place to say, thank you, Jesus. In love, he predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself. Notice, according to his favor and will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he favored us with in the beloved. We stand, we wrestle, we stand, we win. Would you say that with me? We wrestle, we stand, we win. Thank God. Joshua led the people of God in the Old Testament to possess the promised land. Jesus leads us to possess the promises of God. Every spiritual blessing in Christ is ours, but we still have to battle. The devil doesn't quit. We have to battle to claim it, hold on to it, and to walk in it. But thank God we can have victory today by his grace. I said this earlier. Maybe you can relate to what I said. Do you ever just get discouraged and just tired in the battles and feel like you're maybe like Daniel, no strength left? I just hope today that God used me to help encourage you, encourage myself by God's grace. In fact, I'll say it like this, as we come to the communion table, let's draw near to our Lord and receive his grace, receive his peace, receive his strength, and let's thank him for favor and victory today. We wrestle, we stand, we win. Let's stand together. Lord, thank you for the cross. I thank you for even peeling back the curtain of human insight, of human sight, so that we can see in the spirit realm or by your word to know that it's not just in the physical realm, but Lord, spiritually, there is a battle taking place. Lord, you know, I believe often it's that has to be won first in the spirit before it manifests in the physical. So I pray today that you would help us, Lord. Help us to stay close to you. Like Daniel, from the time he was a teenager and taken captive into exile, until he lived out his full days, maybe 90 years of age, he was faithful and true to you. Help us, regardless what we may see, experience, Lord, whatever it is, help us just trust you, stay close to you, and keep on pursuing your will. We do thank you today that there is no foe that can stand against you. Right there where you are. Does anyone here today just would raise your hand to say, I need the strength of God's word and touch on me right now. Just in the battle, I'm with the Lord, but I just need his strength and touch right now. Would you just lift your hands up? Father, we lift our hearts and our hands to you. We look to you because we know you are able and you can. So I pray that even by your spirit, you would touch us in our heart, touch us in our thoughts, touch us in our bodies. And I pray that we would hear your word personally to us. You are greatly loved and you can stand by my grace. And Lord, may we do it. Strengthen your people according to your word, I pray. In Jesus' name.